Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of 1 John chapter 4, we were taught that God does not want anybody to go to hell, but would desire that all come to repentance. Let's start the week with that thought. But both of those people knew their sin. They both knew what it deserved, but Jesus still named it. Modern, blended, and contemporary philosophy thinks that is wrong. But Jesus got it right. He's never wrong. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God created hell. But man and hell was not the original intent of God. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, we read this. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God made it so bad that it torments those super spirits. That's why Gadarene, the legion of devils, wanted to go into a herd of swine rather than to be sent to that place before the time. That's why in 2 Peter 3:9 it says, The Lord is not willing for us to perish. He says, The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. So he came to pay our wages for sin, for the wages of sin is death, final complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. He knew the horrors of hell. That's why it is said that as far as recorded, preaching in the Bible, Jesus preached more on hell than any other person that preached in the Bible. Sin's wages are clearly seen. In Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Jesus is the glory of God, and we've all come short of that. And those wages were death. Romans 5:12 says, Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, we inherited a sin nature because the first man, Adam, sinned. Now, we're different than angels. Whereas we are procreated, that is, men and women have children together. Angels, each of them were created individually. Therefore, if angels could be saved, Jesus would have had to suffer for them, each individual angel, as he did for us. And probably even greater because they have the greater light. Now, Adam, as the father of our race, so too Jesus is the second Adam, the father of those who, through repentance and faith, receive the blessed payment of the blood of Christ for our sin. Now, friend, he was made inside a virgin by the Father himself. 1 Corinthians 15, 21-22 says, For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Therefore we live through him, my friend. the one who made himself of no reputation to suffer for us. And it was necessary. Hebrews 9:22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, that is, there is no forgiveness of sin. But that sin offering had to be acceptable before God. It had to come from a sinless person who had been tried in all ways and yet without sin, who was declared righteous, a fit sacrifice. And Jesus is the only man of human history to be a fit sacrifice for our sins. Because it had to be a perfect man without sin. And we see how that blood was applied to us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. He says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, friend, God made us a body, but we're made in his image that is spirit. So we're a spirit and a soul that possesses a body. The body dies, but the spirit lives forever. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that there is a spiritual body and there is a natural body. When your body dies, the spirit is separated from the body. Death means separation. You know that's what the word meant. The word death meant separation. It never meant cessation or ceasing to exist. Death refers to the spirit. We see someone die and we see their body still. It's lying there, but it doesn't have life because the spirit has left. It's separated. I remember when my mother was dying, and we had just taken a ventilator off. Doctors took it off, should I say, and the doctor said she could go on a few days, she could die the moment we take the ventilator off. Well, they took it off, and she continued to breathe very lightly. And she breathed for about another 20 minutes before she left. But, you know, I didn't see a physical form, but I seen her spirit leave her body. A peace flooded that room. It wasn't a feeling, it was a peace. Something that I'd been around dead bodies before and people dying before, but I'd never experienced something quite like that. But God wanted me to see that. And my brothers had sat down by that time, and as I seen her take her last breath, I just said, there she goes. I could just see her spirit leaving, although I didn't see a form. I could just see her spirit leaving. They came in and they put on the stuff to see if she was really dead, and she said, she's gone. She's gone. But I thought, that's good. She's gone. She's not there. There's just a body there now. There's just a worn-out machine, just a worn-out garment that's been put off, and it's going to await a new body. But until that time, there's a spiritual body in heaven. But, oh, I tell you what, got a dad up there, got a mom up there. Through miscarriages, I have some young ones up there. I've got a brother up there. I've got friends up there. Oh, heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. My mother died the day after Mother's Day, May 11th. And that's always a special time when I think of it, because she wasn't just my mother, my brother's mother, but she brought many people to Christ. And now she's got, in this way, she's got a sense of people bringing to Christ. It's kind of like a parent to them. Not the Father of Heaven, but in a sense, like a parent to them. Many children that came to Christ under her personal witness. In eternity, we'll have a new body, but in hell, a body that feels the flame, it desires food and water. The rich man in hell showed it. He says, I am tormented in this flame. Let Lazarus put his finger in water and just touch my tongue. Let Lazarus, who was full of sores, that could not stand, just let him touch my tongue. In heaven, we have the tree of life and the river of the water of life, and a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. The body in hell lives in an eternal, corruptible state. But that body that they are in will never cease to exist. It will hear the cries of devils who are tormented in heaven. It is eternal life. Life because we're with Jesus. In a body which, when John saw one in a glorified body in Revelation, he started to bow down and worship, and he said, see thou do it not. I am of thy brethren, the prophets. Now, a lot of people think that's an angel. No, angels weren't of the brethren, and they weren't prophets, okay? But that body was so glorified, it was something that, from somebody like the Apostle John, it almost evoked worship. What is that body going to be like? In hell, they don't have a Jesus to fellowship. They're suffering when they could have been saved and had eternal life. You know that rich man in hell is 2,000 years later, and he's still tormented day and night. He still desires water. He still desires to be relieved. And he still desires for people not to have to come to that terrible place. Now, my friend, we've seen what God in his love did. He sent his son. Why? Why did God in his love do it? To give us a chance to be saved because he loves us. And what is the way to that love? Look at verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God first loved us. Verse 19 will tell us that when we get to it. He loved us before we were born. He knew every sin I would ever do, everything I'd ever do wrong. He knows my thoughts afar off, Psalms 139 tells us.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will